The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network, as well as on cagematch.net. Still is an introduction that I very much like, that I keep doing, that I will do over and over again. So if you listened to our last show, The Way of the Dodo, and you thought that this show also went the way of the dodo, it did not. We're still here. I am back, and Dylan, let me say it like this, I'm home.
Well, this is a return everyone will be happy with, unlike some other returns recently that maybe didn't ignite the, you know, didn't capture the hearts of a certain fan bases. But is it clobbering time, though?
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. Dylan, this depends on, and there's another one. This depends on what do you want to talk about on this show?
Oh, that's another guy. you're merging all of the returns together right now. I like that. You know, you're bigger than, you're basically saying these are your words or your implications, at least. You are bigger than all wrestling returns combined right now. Which I believe, I agree with you.
That's what you said, but I'll take it. Well, just quickly for you, the listeners that may have wondered what was up here with the two of us. First of all, November is a very stressful month for me. It's also the month that I have my birthday in, which doesn't make it easier. So there's lots of stuff to do, both in my job and privately. We have open day in school the weekend after my birthday, usually. So there's two weekends that were practically gone for us to record a show. Then there was Thanksgiving, of course. So Dylan was off, and Dylan was sick as well. So it really was mentally not an easy time to do another show after, we're back after almost a month right now. And that is why we weren't back after that show, but we're back now. We try to do a digest of some of the stuff that happened in the last 2 weeks, basically, in Japanese pro wrestling. And we also have an announcement that goes in line with this for the year-end awards show, Dylan.
That's right. First of all, just want to say that I missed you while you were gone. We did have a show in between. It was me and Gerard from Emerald Glow Show talking about the Observer Hall of Fame, which a lot of guys that got nominated, he voted for. He said it on the show. So I like to think that we were very influential to the Observer Hall of Fame,
sure.
I would say. I still have done stuff on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat, covering these infernal tag leagues we're about to talk about. I will say, put a little note up there for everybody. Next month, there's going to be some changes to the Patreon, just working some stuff around. The other tiers, besides the $5 tier, are probably going to go away. But the good news is, there's now an option for a year-long deal, which is basically not that much different from the $3 tier. I think it's a little bit more. So it's like, if you pay for it in the year, you'll get it all, and the $5 tier remains the same. It's not. I know inflation's a big thing. We're not going to inflate you. We're not going to screw over the Eastern Lariat family. I'm not raising the prices, but I had to get rid of the smaller ones just because it's easier that way to do the year-long subscription. So that will go away for my sanity's sake, I guess. And most importantly, we will not have to honor Keiji Muto on our Patreon anymore. Under here in any way. That was
only
that was
good news here.
Yes, that's right. But the year-end show, award show, do you want to announce it now or you want to save it to the end?
Yeah, I just practically laid it out for you to announce it, Dylan.
That's true. Well, we're doing the year-end award show again. We've done it before. We've done the half-year awards. It's been a lot of fun. But there's a change this year. It's going to be a little bit different, y'all, this year. If you listen to the half-year awards, if you participate in the half-year awards, thank you so much. First of all, hopefully you do again for the year-ends. You'll notice that we changed. We had the award names that we debuted. The awards are getting serious, you know. I feel like it's time. We all have to grow up someday, Striga. And it's been all fun and games since the days of the corrupt Tokyo Sports Awards that we used to cover. We really took a step forward with the Eastern Lariat Awards the last couple of years, and now we're taking another step forward with the names, and we will be doing the show after the new year this year. So we will not get cut off. You know, the last couple of years, like last year, the Stardom show happened at the very end of the year after the awards, literally the 31st, and that's a big bummer. And now this year, not only is the Stardom show, which probably won't be up for the awards with all the injuries that they've had lately, but still, they've got that. We got to give them a chance. And also the All Japan show with the rematch of Kento Miyahara and Katsuhiko Nakajima taking place literally New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. So keeping that in mind, we want to make it fair. We don't want to cut everybody out, which has happened the last couple of years. Again, there was times years ago where it wouldn't even matter. There were no big shows. But it's changed now. So we've changed with the times. Do you want to be stuck in the mud? Do you want to be stuck in the past? No, we do not do that on the Eastern Lariat. We have to keep track of things for the fans. We will have our normal Tokyo Dome review show for New Japan as well. And who knows, some stuff always seems to slip into there somehow.
Sure.
But we'll do that, and we'll have a special show at the end of the year, which will be a much lighter tone, more like a wrap-up, and maybe looking toward the future.
Sometime between Christmas and New Year's Eve.
Yeah, exactly. So Striga's on board for it. We love Striga for making so much time with his busy schedule going on. And thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing so much good work in your teaching career and your life, which isn't really a career, but your life in general.
My life.
The life career that you have. But Thanksgiving, hopefully everybody, all the American listeners, and also if you celebrate it even in other countries, I highly encourage, even if you're not American, to celebrate all holidays so you get free stuff and free food. that is my rule, how we do things in this Eastern Lariat show. Black Friday, hopefully you bought some cool stuff. Black Friday was kind of a bust, to be honest with you. But I want to shout out my sister. It was her birthday. Happy birthday, Cheyenne. Yeah, that's right. We're back in the TigerCast W game coming in there. I got her something really cool for her birthday, a book, and she's like a reading maniac. She basically lives like her room is basically a library with a bed in it.
Okay.
So happy birthday, Cheyenne. Happy birthday, Grandpa Ken.
Oh, happy birthday, Ken.
Yeah, his birthday was just a couple of days ago. I got him something, but actually, I got him a Chicago Bears jersey. That's his favorite NFL team. But they messed it up. They botched it and actually printed his name on both sides. So I got a refund for that. And we ended up getting we ordered a nice bit of Chinese takeout for myself, Ken, Mama, and everybody. Ken will probably be watching the Dome show with me this year, too. He's very much like he's very much into the wrestling game again, AEW, WWE. To bring it back to our entrance, when CM Punk returned, he got up and yelled, and I had to calm him down. He was so angry that he came back to WWE.
Yes!
And so I did get that in place. We'll be doing some cool stuff, long story short, with the Eastern Lariat. Cool stuff coming up in the year-end and the start of the new year. Should be a great year for everybody, and hopefully everybody sticks with us and tunes in and has some fun.
Now that we're at it, Dylan, quickly before we go to the Japanese tournaments, a quick look at AW's Continental Classic. They have their two leagues, the Blue and the Gold League, running right now. What do you think about the tournament so far?
Yeah, you know, we've been doing a lot of coverage on my other show, Wrestle Update. Right. with Nello. He's been really into the tournament. We're gonna do another show real soon too, talking about the West Coast Pro Show. With Suzuki on there. You got Takumi Aroha as well. Cool stuff going on there. The tournament, though, I think it's been really good. I think my takes really don't seem too different than the majority that I see. I don't know if you've seen a lot online, but I pretty much like almost all the matches. There's not been one that's been truly great or anything like that, I would say. Yeah. The closest would definitely be, in my opinion, the Brian Danielson and Eddie Kingston match, which just happened on Collision. And I also greatly enjoyed Rush and Mark Briscoe as well.
Oh, yeah, that was a great match. That's just completely wild.
Yeah, but none of them have been bad, I would say. There's been a couple that were so-so, but nothing too bad at all.
Yeah, I thought the opening day was so-so. But since then, I think it has developed into a good direction. And they've picked up some of the tropes that we see in Japanese tournaments as well. We get the losing streak for Eddie Kingston. We get the losing streak for Daniel Garcia as well. They'll be probably going head-to-head for the victory there, going for the 3 points. And we get those that are the favorites in the tournament and those that are that from the beginning were like kind of the dark horses like Brody King. So it's very much in tune of what we are used to from Japanese tournaments. And it's in many ways, it's great that we get this. But when you look at the rest of the shows, it feels like a disconnect from much of the other stuff that they are doing with all their weird bro chacho devil stories that they're having. But nonetheless, it's great that this tournament is happening. I'm hoping that it sticks because seems like a great time of the year for them to do stuff like that between the big shows at the end of the year. So more for it.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of Wrestle Update, if you want to hear a good rant about the brochachos and things going on, go back and listen to our show on Full Gear and the main event of that show, which legitimately be the worst match of the year.
I was so infuriated when I watched it live. And
yeah, me too, Stringer. We went through it together, buddy, on this one. But I had a lot to say about that main event, and so I always enjoy that. If you like ranting Dylan, angry Dylan, they've definitely tapped into that with the MJF and Jay White feud and main event that they've been going on. But the tournament is great. I really like what they see. I know some people don't like the point system, but it's stupid even for me seeing this.
There was this really amazing comment under this AEW tweet that they where they laid out the points. Someone said something along the lines of, "I thought wrestling couldn't be any nerdier." And we were just looking at this comment and saying, there is literally like a 6, a 3, and a 0. That's nerdy.
Yeah, I mean, these numbers are just too damn much.
It's really too much, yes.
And it's stupid even for me to feel that way. I don't understand the fans, some of these fans' complaints. But it must be even worse for you, a European. Somebody who loves and has followed Premier League and all sorts of football leagues your whole life. These are how they do the standings. 3 for a win, 1 for a draw. That's how it's always been. Obviously, in the G1, it's 2 for a win and 1 for a draw, but he made it off the Premier League. It doesn't really matter, to be honest, either way, but it's fine. But for you, being somebody who watches these leagues, you must hate the people complaining about this because it's like second day.
Mind-boggling.
But the tournament's good, regardless of fan reaction, and I've enjoyed watching it. Definitely the best things on the show going in, and hopefully not just AEW, but all the wrestling companies can come in with big things. You know, say what you want about them, but Punk's original return, not the follow-up promo, but his return originally did get a lot of people talking, at least. So there was a lot to talk about there. The indies are having a lot of influx of Japanese talent coming in. Not just West Coast Pro, but there's like 10 different American Joshi companies that have popped up.
Yes, it's wild, yeah.
Yeah, for really random.
Tokubana is having a show in Tokyo for whatever reason.
No, that's I think you're thinking of Kitsune.
It's Kitsune, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I'm mixing them up here. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's five of them, so nobody knows which is which. Mm-hmm. I think Tsukuban is having a show, though. It's in Miami.
Yeah.
That they're having. So it's close enough. Miami, Tokyo, it's practically the same. But the fact of the matter is, they're all doing this Japanese-based stuff. I don't know where all these promoters came from that love Japanese wrestling so much, but you know, hopefully it leads to good.
And it gives a lot, lots of talent, great work in the United States, and that's great.
Yeah, I hope it sustains. I don't know.
That's the other question here.
Yeah,
there's so many promotions popping up doing basically the same stuff. So it can't be sustainable in all cases.
Yeah, I know. And like you said, that show in Tokyo, I was talking about it with somebody. Because when I first saw it, I thought, what? This is crazy. Yeah. But then when you think about it, it's actually kind of a prudent financial move.
Sure.
You won't have to fly in all these extra people. You just have to fly yes. a couple to Japan. So it makes perfect sense, kind of.
Smart move, yeah.
Absolutely. The rare good business move from indie wrestler. But regardless, want to see everybody get some good work. All the cool Japanese wrestlers coming in. Big treat for the fans, too. You know, you get more chances to see these guys and girls now that you wouldn't have gotten even 3 or 4 years ago. So hopefully things continue to do good. Rooting for everybody. Hope for the best for everybody. But most importantly, hope for the best for the Japanese wrestling companies, which have their own issues that we will get
into. That is correct, yes. And this is a time of the year where there are many tournaments. Once again, it feels like that Japanese wrestling is tournament season all year long. We have the tag leagues going on for New Japan Pro Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling. For New Japan, it's the World Tag League. And for All Japan, of course, the real World Tag League. Because
not the fake one. Yeah, not the fake
one. Not the fake one. No, it's real. Yeah, and I tried to catch up or to be there for the tag league of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But I ultimately failed because I didn't have any time to watch a lot of stuff over the weekend, and they just had four more shows until I last watched World Tag League matches. What makes it easier, though, Dylan, is the new New Japan World Player. I was able to install it on my TV, which is a great benefit right now because the old player didn't work out on my television, but now I can just jump in from my Google Chromecast to the New Japan World Player, and every show for the World Tag League is separated into the individual matches. And usually I'm not a proponent of that because I really like to watch full shows, and that's what I did for DDT and for All Japan for their tournaments. But for the World Tag League, as it is, with so many teams, we have 16 teams, and right now as we're speaking, we're on to day 12 of the tour, and the tour hasn't yet finished. It is really a tour that benefits you if you are the type of fan that cherry picks matches, because to be quite honest, watching this all consumes a lot of time and basically disqualifies me from watching any other wrestling. So I picked and chose some matches from this tour, and I want to say that I fairly enjoyed some of the matches. I skipped mostly the House of Torture matches and some undercard matches, of course, and some of the middle card matches of the tag league. The match that I enjoyed the most, and as I'm looking at the ratings on Cage Match, it's the most well-received match of the entire tour. It's from November 28, Kaito Kiyomiya and Roy Hoiwa against Ren Narita and Shota Umino, a match that I enjoyed very much, and I thought that even though they teased the time limit draw, but ultimately Kiyomiya and Oiwa lost the match. And still, though, I think that all four wrestlers benefited hugely from this match, raising all four men's profiles because they worked really hard in this match. And it seemed like that Ren Narita and Shota Umino had come together as a tag team, but ever since, it's been downhill from there for these two, with Umino getting pinned in the matches, which is very interesting considering where they were at the beginning of the tour. And on the other side, of course, Kiyomiya and Oiwa, just a great team, natural pairing from the get-go, from day one. They fit together like they had been together for years and years. So, yeah, great addition to this tag league. And I thought that the addition of some more newer teams to this league has really benefited the World Tag League in comparison to years past, where we saw a lot of the same and a lot of the same again during the pandemic 2020-21. Another team or another match that I enjoyed a lot was the 30-minute time limit draw between the champions, Goto and Yoshihashi, and Atlantis and Soberano. Atlantis Jr. and Soberano Jr., that is. I thought it was a really great match, and Atlantis and Soberano really were elevated by having this match with the champions, and that's what I enjoyed the most of this tag league, Dylan. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you about the Oiwa and Kaito versus Umino and Narita match. That's probably my favorite as well. It would have been really cool if they weren't both eliminated very quickly.
Yeah.
which, unfortunately, and after this crying post with Umino, I think his stock has dropped like very big. Like, I think that was a big mistake to put that online. Yeah. Hopefully, they can get through that and not just have Gabriel Kidd troll him forever on there.
Gotta say, would be funny.
It's funny, but I just don't know if it's a great look for his career.
No, it's not a good look.
But yeah, I really like them as a team. I think Narita has really gained a lot from the tournament. Mm-hmm. With how they've utilized him, really helped elevate him. And he's a great worker. He's always been a talented guy. Another match that I loved was their match against Ishii and Yano.
I've not seen that yet.
And by that, I mean Ishii was in the match like 80% of the match. And I was like thinking about it again. I was like, this man has saved the day so many times. And he never gets the credit he deserves, I feel like. Just because whenever you look at MVPs of tournaments, nobody ever wants to say Ishii because it's like the boring pick, almost. It's like he's done it so many times. And then you get here, in this scenario, teaming with Yano, one of the worst workers in the whole tournament. And his chemistry with Ren Narita is so great. And if you remember their singles match last year, you already know that because they had an amazing match against each other in the TV title tournament. But in the tag league, they were off the charts great. Umino was good too. Another thing I kind of, maybe this is a little bit of a nitpick to some people, but I don't like it. I've been mentioning it a lot. I've reviewed every show on the Patreon so far. I don't really love him doing these Osprey tributes a lot in these matches with the hidden blade.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that as well. What about that? Why is he doing that right now?
And that's what I don't understand as well. It's not like they have... I mean, yeah, that was a great match, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. Obviously, it was very well received. We talked about it in the last episode. But it wasn't like this legendary... We even talked about it. Basically, that got whitewashed almost by the angle that came afterwards with the belts getting destroyed. They mm-hmm. didn't give him the moment that we wanted them to give him afterwards. So I didn't really like that. And he's a guy that's really struggled, in my opinion. If you look at him, he's basically a creative wrestler. You know, like all of his moves are, here's yep. Moxley's move, that's my finisher, the Death Rider. Oh, here's my Tanahashi move, the Twist and Shout. Oh, here's Ospreay's move, the Hidden Blade and the Asuka. It's like, come on, man. Like,
I thought he was on such a great way up until the Ospreay match. And I thought that this match really should have been the match that sealed the deal for him to be top talent material. But yeah. Like you said, this after that, he just continued to pick pieces from different wrestlers instead of trying to be a standout wrestler himself.
And he's still a talented guy, don't get me wrong. There's no criticism of his in-ring skill, which is very good. It's just... I don't really like the idea of him copying all these guys. There's something about him that I think is missing to really get to that next level right now. But he's still young, so it's not like there's not time for him to correct these things. I do wish that heading into this Dome show, the three Musketeers are not exactly blowing up the card on the Dome.
Yeah, there is already a card with... all title matches except for Bryan Danielson and Okada. There is 7 matches announced. There probably is room for one or two more matches on the main show. Given the fact that Rey Narita and Shota Umino are eliminated from the tag league, and like I said, Umino was on the losing post in the most recent matches that the two of them had over the weekend. Do you think there could be a match between Umino and Narita on the undercard of the Tokidom show?
I think that will be tough, and I'll tell you why. Where would that leave Tsuji in this?
Like, is the wrench that's thrown away with that. Yes, I thought about that as well, and I have not really come to a good conclusion. The only conclusion that I would have would be him like challenging for the never open weight six-man tag title, but you would get the title off of Okada before that.
Yeah.
That would be a role that I could see Tsuji in, because Tsuji is basically for this entire tour, he was kept away from Umino and Narita, literally, because they are in different blocks. So it seemed to me like that the story focused on Umino and Narita more than on Tsuji, which is understandable because these two, I think, needed more than Tsuji.
Yeah.
Tsuji has his legit natural charisma that gives him the edge over the other two. And the other two, like, really keep trying to find stuff that works for them. So my conclusion of that still is that I think it is the direction that they're going in. But I agree with you that it's a tough choice.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to pick one guy at the Dome show of the three, Tsuji's been by far the most successful push of the three thus far. But I mean, I would like to see it. I really think they messed up. They should have won the tournament and gone on to win the titles at the Dome and get them their big moment, which we keep wanting.
Wondering when that's ever going to happen.
And I don't want to overreact because it's still early. You know, they still have a year, 2 years, however. I mean, look how long it took Sonata to get the world title, right? So, you know, they've got 10 years, really, almost. But ideally, you would want them to do something and see some progress a little bit with these two. And I think
the thing about it is they need them to be there earlier than they needed guys like Sonata to be there, because they need new talent on top. They can't always go with the same matches.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some guys, you know, Tanahashi isn't able to be at that level that he was 5 years ago at the end of the day. Although I'm looking forward to his match on the Dome versus Zack Sabre Jr.
I'm fairly certain that he's going to win the title.
Yeah. That would be great.
That would be a great role for him, like in these 15-minute matches.
Yeah, you still get his star power, maybe even elevate the title a little bit to the fans, the native fans, and have some kick-ass matches, because he can still go at certain points. He's not where he was, clearly, but I think for the Dome match, that'll be a lot of fun. But regardless, I really wish they'd given them the tag league. I don't know where they're going with this tag league. If you look at who's left, I mean, who makes sense to take the title at the Dome?
Let's look at this right now. They only have the two block finals left. But the thing about these tournaments, much like the G1 Climax, we have semifinals. So there might be a team going into the semifinals that has no chance to advance to the eventual finals. What we have in block A is Mikey Nichols, Shane Hayes leading with 10, Alex Covlin and Gabe Kidd, Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano at 8. All other teams are eliminated from the tournament. And we talked about this briefly off air, I think that TMDK will go on to the finals. They face Covlin and Gabe Kidd at the final show. And since Covlin and Gabe Kidd, let me see, they beat Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano and Ishii would have to win their remaining match. That is against, where is it? Against Great Okan and Henare. They are eliminated to begin with. So I think it's in block eight, it's going to be TMDK and Ishii and Yano.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I went with Kid and Coughlin to win on the last line. I think it'll be them and Ishii and Yano. My only thought process on that is because they had the stuff with the strong titles, we saw it. Remember with Finlay, he lost the Never title, and they immediately kind of gave him a reward.
That's right.
Being put in the new title. So I think they'll give them a push here. I don't know where you could go realistically with TMDK. I think they have more stock in the War Dogs. But they're fine. I don't think either team has really electrified me in the tournament. But they're both good, and I would like to see either one fine. Ishii and Yano has been a revelation only because of Ishii working hard. and we'll see. But either, like TMDK, War Dogs, it doesn't really make a difference. Like either one's fine.
Yeah, yeah. As for Block B, since they went with this story of IWGP versus Strong Tag Team Champions, the only logical decision in this block is Hikuleo and El Fantasmo going through, as well as Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did that on the first night, too. Mm-hmm. They had a face-off, which I thought was an interesting decision,
yep.
To be honest. It's definitely interesting. Like how they set this up.
Yeah, they've set this up really great, actually. Goto and Yoshihashi are at 7. They face Taichi and Yuya Omura, who are at 8. So them moving up to 9 will be a possibility. And Hikuleo and Fantasmo face Lance Archer and Alex Zane. They'll beat Archer and Zane, which makes them win the block. Yoshihashi and Goto are on 2nd place with 9 points in this scenario.
Yeah, for a second I thought they might advance Taichi and Waimura, but after today's standings, that kind of went out the window. Yeah. I did a prediction show yesterday. What you said is totally accurate. I think it'll be Bishamon. I think Bishamon is for sure going to win in advance, and I definitely think Guerrillas of Destiny will advance as well, even though Monster Sauce has been pretty fun. Yeah. Archer's been hype throughout the tournament. He's brought a lot of great energy to things. Throwing Zane around, using him as a weapon. They do that in every match. So, but still, though, I think it'll be Fantasmo and Hikuleo and Bishamon will advance.
Yeah. One of my early highlights of this tour was the Great Okan and Henare team. There was a great match early on. It was on the 23rd. Very early on in the tour, one of my, I think it's my second favorite match of the tour. It was Great Okan and Henare against Kiyomiya and Oiwa. There was this great grappling sequence between Great Okan and Oiwa that I really, really liked. So if you haven't seen the match, was it the main event of that show? It was third from the top on that show. Of course, the main event of that show was TMDK and House of Torture, which I skipped, so it was second for me.
I watched that bullcrap. Why are you skipping it?
Sorry.
No, it's not. Don't apologize. You did the smart move. I'm the stupid idiot that watched it. A lot of times, Stringer, in all honesty, for the Patreon, I feel like I'm literally the only person watching these shows.
Yes.
Sometimes. And I don't know why I do it.
I would really love to see like the click numbers for these individual matches.
in the double digits. but regardless, I don't know if it's some deep internal flaw of myself that makes me watch these tag league shows. I just can't stop. But we didn't talk about it on the show. I'm making a swerve call here that we're going to talk about in a second. I want to talk about the Noah show coming up because I love the Kaito and Oiwa team.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing on January 2nd?
What do they do? I haven't been able to.
Nothing. They're not having a match. Nothing.
Sure.
It's such a stupid card.
Like, okay, we're making the swerve to Pro Wrestling Noah quickly.
Yeah.
This card is a complete reflection of where Pro Wrestling Noah stands at the end of this year, where at the beginning of the year they had this amazing draw in the Tokyo Dome, and after that Tokyo Dome show, we went on this show here and we said that they are going to run into deep troubles with because they are not in the situation where they can be a company that stands on their own legs after this Keiji Muto deal. They don't have the star power, and this card is a complete reflection of that. We said it, Kenno and Manabu Soya is not a program that you can main event your quote-unquote biggest show of the year. Maybe they'll do another bigger one, I don't know. And they don't. They pushed it back. They now are doing Naomi Chibaro Fuji versus Kota Ibushi in the main event. And Adam Summers from Wrestling Observer, from the Adam and Mike show, he put it perfectly, I thought, in his tweet. He said something along the lines of that this match has Hogan versus Piper WCW vibes. These two are not the top stars of, or shouldn't be the top stars in this company anymore at this point. Maro Fuji, sure, he is a big name in Pro Wrestling Noah, but for the most part, he's been there, done that, and has been moved down the card. And Kota Ibushi just coming in for this main event match is really weird. And then there is Daga and Eita. There is, for whatever reason, there is Hiroshi Tanahashi on this card. Of course, yeah, sure, he's a name, and they probably need him to draw a card.
Who's but he teaming with?
Tanahashi is teaming with Hayata against Zack Sabre Jr.
That was their idea for yeah. Tanahashi to come in.
Yep, team with Hayata, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there is the MMA guy debuting on this show. It's a show based around individual matches, and nothing they've done this year, except for the Kenno and Manabu Soya match, has led us to this card.
No, the card is not very exciting in my opinion. Up and down. The Kenno and Soya match. I said it when this match got announced. We talked about it last month. I knew they had to have something up their sleeves, like some kind of special thing that mm-hmm. nobody was talking about.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you can't main event with Soya in this situation.
No, you can't. Yeah.
And I figured that they had something special that they had in mind. Unfortunately, the thing that was special is someone that's so broken down that I don't want to watch this man main event, which is somewhat similar to last year's main event as well, I would argue. The Kenno and Soya match at least has a good story, but it's and it'll be a good match. I think that they're going to deliver a really strong match. Soya is a great worker. Kenno is amazing. He should be in the main event if they booked with two brain cells in that company. The Sasaki, the MMA guy, that'll be cool. I think that could be a great match with Sugera in there leading it.
Sure.
I actually kind of enjoy the Monday Magic shows, not as something I'm like invested in my heart, but I can sit back and turn my brain off and enjoy.
Exactly. I was going to bring that up too on this show, so I'm glad that you also see this the same that I see it, because I really enjoy these shows. It's just comfort food pro wrestling when you're just coming home on a stressful Monday, just sitting down and watching this show. It's really easy to watch.
And they're paying that off on this show, the January 2nd show, with the great Sakuya storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like she's going to team whoever this is. We'll team with Nozaki versus Umasaki and Takase, which could be a nice little match.
Yeah.
You know, but the point is, like I said, Kaito and Oiwa, where I was going with that, a fantastic team. Kaito is a great wrestler. Like, make no mistake about it. He's literally one of the best in-ring performers in Japan right now. And you're telling me that you can't find a spot for these guys on this show a month out? You've got 7 matches announced ahead of whatever. If they do anything, maybe they'll just leave them off the show for all we know. You're telling me you can't find a spot for these guys in a major match, something with hype around it? Because they just did the tag title shot.
Yeah.
And they lost.
And where's Jake Lee on this card? Where's
Jake?
Where's the tag title on this show? Who's...
Where's Jack Morris? How many matches are going to be on the show? Are they just going to keep announcing matches with all these people?
For all that I know, they could be in the end up to 10 or 12 matches, because there are many people left out right now.
It's interesting. But to me, Kaito and Oiwa should have been a priority booking, not, we'll get to them a week out from the show.
After
the tournament or whatever. Maybe they'll set something up. But that's another problem in and of itself. You're using New Japan's tag league to set up whatever angle you have planned for this show. A lot of people think that he should just leave, go to New Japan. That's half the comments on these tag league shows now, is that Kaito should just go to New Japan, which I don't think is going to happen. But, I mean, to be fair, Kenno did say, get results or don't come back. And I guess he has to go now. He did not get any results.
Yeah, I guess he does.
He's gone forever.
Man, what a weird 2 years this guy has had.
Oh, yeah. That's one word to describe it. It's weird.
Weird.
And what about the president of NOAH with his comments recently, Takeda? I mean, can somebody just sit this guy in a room and get him to shut the hell up for 5 seconds? Before the G1, he was talking about how Kaito had no fans and wasn't a draw in NOAH. And now this show comes out, gets a lot of backlash too, even from the Japanese fans. We're not very happy about this Ibushi and Marufuji match. And he goes on and on about how Marufuji, they don't know when he's going to retire, so they want to have big matches in place for him. Which is, and he basically more or less roundabout says that they don't think Soya and Kenno are main eventers at the same time. I mean, will you shut up? What are you doing? Why do you have to make these comments publicly? You shouldn't believe him, first of all.
Comes down to what you said all along. This is a very stupid company. They are doing everything possible to belittle their own roster, to belittle their own guys that they need to headline their shows in the foreseeable future, but they can't because they're doing stupid stuff like that.
And it's unnecessary. You're shooting yourself in the foot for no reason. Even if you believe it, you shouldn't believe it. But even if you do believe it, don't say it publicly before the show happens. How is that so hard? I mean, what's going on with this guy? Man, he's out of control, this President Takeda. But, you know, hopefully it works out.
Maybe he should wrestle on the show. Get his ass beaten.
I mean, this sounds a lot like another guy I knew who used to run All Japan. Came in there. That had a penchant for running his mouth and also wrestled Chono on an All Japan show at one point. Hopefully the show will be good. As I said, I really wasn't that mad about that part, booking Ibushi in the main event, because I knew that they were going to do something to be, you know, had something up their sleeve. I just don't understand why they've done such a poor job with some of these other guys on the roster heading into your biggest show. And Wagner Jr., one of the guys you put all this effort into this year,
yep,
guess who's not around anymore. Mm-hmm. And probably hasn't re-signed. He said before his contract's coming up in December, and he's already booked at WXW. I don't have confidence he's coming back to NOAH.
Yeah, sadly no.
So much wrong with that show. But the biggest one in relation to the tag league was Kaito and Oiwa.
Yep.
They should be priority guys. You know, they shouldn't be in nonsense matches. Maybe they'll pull something out of their ass again. Get Akiyama on, like the time they had the Akiyama and Marufuji versus Kaito and Inamura match.
Yeah, but that was a different time. There was a time when they actually had stuck in Kaito Kiyomiya.
Yeah, they actually had some sense of logic when that happened. They won that match, by the way. I don't know if y'all remember this or not. And now he's Yoichi. It's in somewhere in Kaito. I mean, Kaito is like less than mid-card right now. It's like he's near the bottom of his block. I don't know. But regardless, I did want to bring that up because it was a big story. Got a lot of talk with Ibushi getting the main event slot in NOAH. Yep. I know you're not the biggest fan and watch most of their shows probably, which is totally reasonable in all honesty. But this show is a big deal. I hope Soya and Kenno have a great match. I also don't think anybody actually thinks Soya can win the title either. The best case scenario is this is kind of a springboard match that ideally you would use to build him into a new star. I think putting him in the semi-main really undercuts that goal, which is similar to what they did last year. Again, like it's pretty much the same story they told last year with Kaito and Kenno going in the semi-main event.
Didn't I tell you that the GHC title match might wind up second or third from the top?
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah. And, I mean, it really undercuts the title. I don't know why. Like, why do they want to make the title less meaningful? I don't know. Like, Noah, we're trying to come up with answers to questions nobody has the answers to. But will you please, somebody, tell Takeda, stop talking. Don't say anything. You may think it's a good idea. You don't want to be the next Shiraishi. Like, no, nobody wants that in wrestling. Nobody needed that. He's in jail now, I think, allegedly. I don't remember the exact story, but I think he did get busted for some kind of white collar crime later on. But regardless, Noah, Kaito's in the G1, or not the G1. Well, he was in the G1, but the World Tag League. Did they gain anything from it? I mean, the ones who won ultimately were the fans, because they were probably the best team in the tournament in terms of wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's great. But unfortunately, they didn't really put any effort or care into protecting them. Which, I mean,
it's kind of with Oiwa.
Yeah, Oiwa is the same. I remember seeing that match with Narita and Umino versus Kaito and Oiwa, and I was thinking, man, mm-hmm. Kaito's been a multi-time world champion, and he fits right in with these guys. Like, these guys
are Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of critical of that team. As workers, they're great, but I don't think it helps Kaito, actually, in hindsight, to be in this team, because he doesn't stand out with next to a young lion. And I think that really hurts him, just from his aura and the way he carries himself. Wrestling-wise, he's one of the best, but I think he's lost a lot this year, which I've been saying from the beginning, and I will continue to say whenever he comes up, which maybe we won't talk about Noah that much in 2024. That's going to be one of our resolutions, I think. But I will watch it anyway. I will comment on it and try my best to make sense of and have positive feelings for this company. And even New Japan, as we said, to bounce back before we move on real quick on the tag league. Who's winning?
Yes, who is winning? Yeah, right.
Nobody knows, because none of the candidates make any sense.
Yeah. I think what would make sense would Goto and Yoshihashi versus Igoleo and El Fantasmo make sense in the finals?
I can see Hikuleo and Phantasma winning if the goal is title versus title.
Exactly.
We're going to unify the titles at the Dome. I don't know if they'd face Bishamon in the final back-to-back, though. Maybe they'd face somebody else. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're a candidate to win, for sure.
They've done that before in the tag league, you know? They've done that before, where the champions were in the finals, and then the rematch took place at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, they have. I don't think they put a lot of effort into this tag division in general, to be honest, unfortunately. And maybe that's a good sign for Umino and Narita, that they're not going to be a tag team for a long term. Mm. And that it should be cool. It should be great, but they don't put a lot of effort into it. I think that's probably the most logical outcome, Phantasmo and Hikuleo winning. That doesn't excite me, personally, like that matchup at the Dome. I think with a team like Bishamon, you want to have something really spectacular, and they really they've cut themselves out of that, you know, with these candidates. I don't think there's a great match among the potential winners, ultimately. I could see War Dogs getting it as well, try to tell a story with Finley. Maybe you could have them all. Because they did that weird show where they took the titles off of them, and we were like, what the hell? Maybe it was all to bounce back to this and give them a bigger push at the Dome somehow. But yeah, I could see those would be the two teams I think are the most likely. Yeah. I could see War Dogs getting it, but I think Hikuleo and Phantasmo... Do they really need another set of tag titles in this company?
They don't.
Yeah. Just give Bishamon the titles and let them do something. Remember their match? Them versus Okada and Tanahashi at the anniversary show?
Yeah.
I mean, they felt like such stars in that show. And the titles have just like fell into the abyss by the end of the year. And it's a shame because usually they don't even get that high. Like, the titles will just be lame the whole year. This year, it looked like they had a lot of momentum. They kind of screwed up putting the titles on the Aussie Open when they left. Mm-hmm. You know, in hindsight, you wish that they could have kept the titles and just gone through it. Because, I mean, they had great matches. Like, Bishamon was killing it with those matches. They were, like, some of the highlights of the show. And now, like I said, the titles are in the abyss. Whoever wins this tournament, this isn't going to be a marquee match on the Dome. It's rough, man. and I think we're kind of sputtering to a finish. There's been some good matches in this tournament, and like you said, at least there's different teams than usual, which I think is a big help. So it's not all bad, but I think it could have been a lot better with some more care put into it.
Yes, exactly. And good news, Dylan, on the final day of the World Tag League, that's taking place in Kumamoto, in the Kyushu region, they have a team from Kyushu Pro Wrestling on the card in the Frontier Zone match. It's Aso-san and the Kyushu Pro Wrestling champion, Kodai Nozaki. They are teaming up against a team yet to be named. It's really cool. Hopefully we get to see that match. Kodai Nozaki has been in a really great three-way match at the anniversary show that Kyushu Pro did earlier this year. Check that out. Great, great match. And I really like the guy. He's good.
Yeah, he is. My guy Kyushu Pro's done some big things for a while now. They've been in very good promotion. Easy to watch on YouTube.
Yep.
Check him out. Do some big things. And cool. The Frontier Zone continues to deliver. And I look forward to seeing that match. Just like the others, it probably won't be a big deal. Like maybe 5 minutes, you know, has been kind of their standpoint right now.
Yeah.
The Frontier Zone matches don't get a lot of time. But it's still cool that they get a chance to be in a bigger show like this.
Exactly. So now we're leaving the fake World Tag League and we're transitioning over to the real World Tag League. They had their most recent show in Osaka, Eden Arena number 2, 914 fans. Once again, a successful house for All Japan Pro Wrestling. They've had successful houses all over the tour for the Real World Tag League / Junior Battle of Glory tour. And what we've seen right now on that show is the main event of Zuwama and Hideki Zuki. They defeated Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. And on the day before, December 2nd, Yuma Aoyagi and Kento Miyahara also dropped a fall, very surprisingly, to Cyrus and Ryan Davidson. And right now, as we speak, there is only one show left. So that's the final show on December 6th. Which means we have Katsuhiko Nakajima and Hokuto Omori and Jun Saito and Rei Saito and Zuwama and Hideki Zuki all at 10 points and Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi at 9. Even though Cyrus and Ryan Davidson beat Miyahara and Aoyagi, they are eliminated from being able to win the tournament because they lost to Nakajima and Hokuto Omori. They can still level the 10 points, but not beat Nakajima and Omori, which eliminates them at 8 points. So it'll either be one of the three teams that has 10 points, or Dylan, it will be the team that can only gain 2 points to make it to 11. And we know the structures of these leagues, and it's probably going to be Miyahara and Aoyagi.
Anything's possible. Do you have the card for the last night?
Yes. So the main event of that card is going to be Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi against Katsuhiko Nakajima and Hokuto Omori. Then there is Ryukyu Honda and Yuma Anzai versus Jun Saito and Rei Saito. Anzai and Honda was the team that we two picked for winning the league, but they are at 7. And it would make sense for them to pick up a win, which would also eliminate the Saito brothers from contention. Which also would make sense that because they are the tag champs. Then there is Ishikawa and Ayabe against Zuwama and Hideki Zuki. Ishikawa and Ayabe are at 4 points, so they'll probably get the upset over Zuwama and Hideki, who will once again fight and lose the match. Yukio Sakaguchi and Hideki Okatani against Japan Tokyo Kuroshio, I'm sorry for butchering the name so badly. And Seigo Tachibana there at 6. Really doesn't matter who wins that match. And Hayato Tamura and Galeno De Mal against Cyrus and Ryan Davidson. Another match that doesn't really have any implications anymore. I think Tamura and De Mal are out as well. I'm not certain right now. I think they're in it.
The top 4 teams can win. Four that aims to stop. Everyone else is eliminated.
So the scenario, in my opinion, would be Miyahara and Aoyagi picking up the win before the big match of the big rematch of Kento versus Nakajima, and Miyahara and Aoyagi winning the tag league, which they've dropped some falls recently as a team. just noticeable what we said a couple of shows ago. They lost the tag titles to the Saito brothers in October. They are in contention, but lost the last two matches. So them coming out on top would make sense by the booking.
Yeah, the most reasonable idea is it comes down to Nakajima and Omori and Kento and Aoyagi. That'll be the main event. And the other two teams will lose. Like you said, the Suwama and Hideki team, their purpose was to set up a singles match between them.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I'm kind of afraid that they might actually win, but the way that the final days played out, I don't think they will.
Yeah, I agree.
Saito brothers are definitely losing to Honda and Anzai.
Yep.
I would bet money on it. I'm very confident. By the way, if there's one match from this tournament you got to watch, it's got to be the 30-minute draw between Kento and Aoyagi versus Honda and Anzai. That match was phenomenal. Like, one of the best matches of the entire year. I thought it was a big step up. And I liked the other match, too. They had a match last month, too, that was good. Like, really good. But this match was so great. The time flew by. They were amazing. And I still continue to sing the praises of all of them, like all the men involved. I think that Kento and Yuma need to be considered for Tag Team of the Year. If you look at their run, just in terms of batting average, like in terms of great performances, like, show me somebody else who had a match that good with the Saito brothers.
Nobody has. Even though they continue to improve, they had this amazing match in their hometown, and I'm going to sing their praise for that match until the end of time. It was an amazing piece of business there.
Yeah, Kento and Yuma made that happen, though. Like that wouldn't have happened against anybody else, I would argue. The Saito brothers are fine. Like, they've definitely improved. They used to be terrible. They're not. Like, they're good now, like, relatively speaking. But Kento and Yuma, they had that great match with two guys who've never had a match that good. And then you had a match, and Anzai is always awesome. And Honda has gotten very good as well. He's always been good. But that match was such a next-level match. That was the best match of either tag league, in my opinion. I think pretty easily, in my thoughts. I absolutely love that match. So everybody check it out. But the final, again, I think what you said makes the most sense. Kento and Yuma get the win. Let me ask you this. Do you think Nakajima drops a fall? Like, and if so, to who? Because you have arguments to be made for both Yuma and Kento to pin him.
That's an interesting discussion point. I hadn't even thought about that because it seems so obvious that Omori is the losing post in this match.
I really like the story they've told with them.
Yeah, me too.
The first match of the tour, I thought I hated it. I thought it was one of the worst matches.
Everybody did, yes.
Yeah, and
I I think that everybody turned the corner on it as well.
Yeah, and I think it was like some psyop by All Japan. They tricked us by having such a terrible match to start that everything that went after...
It was the match against Suwama and Hidekizuki,
yeah,
where they debuted the dysfunctional tag team Suwama and Hidekizuki, and Nakajima didn't want to have anything to do with Hokuto Omori, and Hokuto Omori's win was completely overshadowed by everybody fighting, basically, in this team. It was horrible. But then Omori picked up a win, and Nakajima adopted him as his tag team partner and said, hey, stay here in the ring. We're celebrating together. And that was a cute moment.
Yeah, he finally won his respect. I thought that was really cool. It's very possible he just takes the fall. But I think it would do a lot better. It would be a lot better business if you had Nakajima take the fall. Mm-hmm. Either A, to set up the final chapter of his rivalry, or to give Yuma his win back after he lost in really uninspiring fashion, in my opinion. That was a big problem I had with that match. If Yuma could get a win over him, I think that would benefit him greatly. But we'll see. If Omori loses, that's fine. He's kind of been elevated through the tournament anyway. But I do think there's a potential that Nakajima drops the fall to the like somebody, and you could tell a story with that coming out of it.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense, especially given the fact that they are running a storyline once again through Tokyo Sports. All Japan has announced that there will be a Triple Crown match on their January 3rd show, Of course, the Nakajima versus Miyahara match takes place on the December 31st. So a couple of days after that, the Triple Crown champion is expected to wrestle once again. And Nakajima has taken offense to that, and to saying that we haven't even had the one match. Why are we advertising another title match? That's not good business. And the president went out there and said, yes, I see where Nakajima is coming from, but they've not canceled the match yet. So there is another title match looming in the background, which should be in consideration for who picks up the win in this final match of the tag league as well.
With Kento, you have some options. They dropped some falls, especially to Hayato Tamura earlier in the tour.
And by the way, Dylan, Hayato Tamura, he needs to stay with All Japan Pro Wrestling. The guy is a perfect fit for the company.
Oh, he's great. He's always had what it takes. Like, the way he carries himself, the look, his wrestling's really good.
Yeah.
You know, I love seeing him. Galeno hasn't really transferred as well, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, he works better late because it's kind of a weird company, I guess. And there's not as many big guys. Like, when you're in All Japan, there's a lot of big guys. And he's big, don't get me wrong. But yeah, he doesn't stand out as much.
Exactly. It makes him stand out that he's the big luchador. But, like, he's not the big guy here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tamura's a main event level player. Like, if All Japan signed him... And I don't think he will. I think he'll stay in Glade. But still, hopefully he and T-Hawk both...
I think he'll stay in Glade for until it's sustainable for him to be there.
Until the company folds, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then he could be a great pickup for All Japan.
Everybody, he should be a guy everybody calls. Like, if you've got any sense in your head, a guy at his age, with his skills, with his look... Like, you want him, and you want him to be a dude, because you could build the next 10 to 15 years with him, maybe not as the top ace, but if not in the mix. He has everything it takes to be a main eventer, world champion level guy, and he always does. He always delivers, whether it's in Glade, whether it's in All Japan, whether it's a tag team or singles. He just rocks, man. Hayato Tamura, get on it, All Japan. You got to get this boy in for more. Give him the title shot against Kento on the 3rd. Let him have a standout single match.
Yeah, one of my main takeaways from the 29th Kurikan Hall show also was that them bringing Hideki Suzuki to be a dysfunctional tag team with Suwama was not a good idea, but them bringing him in to wrestle Yuma Anzai was a great idea, because Anzai is getting better by the minute he's spending with Hideki Suzuki inside the ring, and it's a joy to watch. They once again had to finish together where Suzuki tapped Anzai out with a regal stretch. There was cool stuff there. So yeah, there was good stuff throughout this league. It's not like it's outstanding, but there is good matches. There's great matches. You pointed out this 30-minute time limit draw. I also liked Aoyagi and Kento Miyahara versus Hideki Okatani and Yukio Sakaguchi. Another story of that match, of that tour, also was Okatani picking up the
Katsukawado.
Kettle, yes, that's it. I fail to spell that, always spell it out. But we have you for that. Using Saki Akai's move,
can we show some respect to the Aztec Serpent God?
I'm sorry that I failed.
I like how they've turned it into a double team move, though, with Saki delivering the kick to set it up. It was really cool.
It's great. Great stuff. Yeah, good team. Great that they're in this league.
Yeah, I thought they started off really good, like, early on, but then they faced some lesser teams, and I think they kind of fizzled out by the end. It's kind of the nature of the tournament. You face these good teams at the start, and then, you know, things come back around. But
yeah,
it's cool to see them. I definitely agree with what you said about Hideki and Anzai. I really don't like the Hideki and Suwama team at all. I want it to end. I really don't want them to win at all. Anzai, stand by what I said multiple times prior. He's one of the best workers already in Japan. Like, I think he already needs to be put up there. He's just magical when he watches, like when he wrestles. Every time he goes in there, whether tag team or singles again, he's just a special, special talent.
Yeah.
And I hope one day we get that Hideki and Anzai singles match.
We will. I'm certain that we will.
I love your faith, brother.
Not a special talent, but someone that worked really hard. And I think it's working out for him. It's the Cyrus and Ryan Davidson team. And I really like what Davidson is bringing to the table. I think he's one more of these pickups that All Japan brought in that will stay around. It's not a guy that will make it in a company like New Japan Pro Wrestling, but he fits well with this with a company that's based around bring in heavyweights and that always looks out to bring in a heavyweight foreigner team. And I think they have something with Cyrus and Ryan Davidson right here. And I didn't really know anything about the guy, but he surprised me and I think that he is a guy they should bring back.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. Totally agree with you about the effort from Davidson. Even from the first night, remember he tried that big dive. It didn't really go well, but still, like, the effort was really appreciated, especially for a guy his size. He's a great partner for Cyrus as well.
Yep.
Because you need to have a guy who tries hard around Cyrus, and I am an original Cyrus respector, to be honest. I think he fills a good role as, like, modern-day, you know, poor man's Vader or whatever. He's doing good stuff as that. But Davidson has really been a great asset to the team because he's able to not just – he's got good size to him too. He's not a small guy, but he works with great energy, really pushes the pace a little bit more. I talked to somebody before the tournament that had been close to the promoter of the company he works for in Texas, and the promoter really put him over as a dude. And not just as a great worker, but he was described to me as a locker room leader. Wow. As well. Like, he's got a great attitude for wrestling. And I think this guy's really proven himself in All Japan. You know, like you said, a guy that most of us, I don't think we were very familiar with him coming in. But he really proved his worth. Totally agree. I would like to see them back. I've always liked Cyrus. I think he does a great job in a unique role. And Davidson, I've come to really enjoy as well. I think they've done a much better job in the tournament than maybe you would expect or maybe your expectations were. So, yeah, shout out to Ryan Davidson. He did a really great job, earned another spot on the tour for sure, on a tour with All Japan for sure in the future.
It's a nice change of pace that All Japan hasn't washed away their great work of the first half year in the second half, like they did last year. Many of their moves really make sense. Many of their moves seem like they are going in the right direction, and I'm really hopeful for the next foreseeable future that we have with the company, because we don't only have the Real World Tag League going on, but we also have the Junior Battle of Glory that has now come to the end of the group stage with Dan Tamura and Naruki Doi tying with 8 points, and they will be in the final on December 6th, that will go on simultaneously to the finals of the Real World Tag League. Dylan, what did you think about this tournament?
Well, right away, we knew it was going to have a ceiling, right?
Yep.
Because they're never in the main events. They're always undercard matches. The Real World Tag League is the main matches. And you've got 10-minute time limits on a lot of these matches. So it's really hard to have great standout matches. But the work has been good pretty much all around. Like, there's been no flaws really with anybody. If you want to say one, that nobody's really stood out or had, like, exciting, like, great match, to say the least. But I think that they're gunning for...
I would disagree. I would say that Fuminori Abe really stood out in all of his matches.
Yeah, well, he's a special talent, a great charismatic talent, but I don't think his matches were great. I think he's a great talent, though.
I really, really liked the Naruki Doi match on the Kurikan Hall show. Thought it was a great match, especially for the finish of the match. And I also really enjoyed the final one against Atsuki Aoyagi.
That was good. I liked the match.
I mean, of course, you're right. Most of the matches are really short. And yeah. It's not like they can put a lot of... a lot of content into these minutes that they get. But from what they were able to do, I think Fuminori Abe has been doing the most that he could with the time he's gotten.
Yeah, and you look at his matches, like, I mean, we're not getting a ton of ratings on Cage Match, but they're almost all 6s out of 10s, which, I mean, it's not anything against their work. It's just the nature of the match itself, you know, like how it's formatted. That's really the issue. But no, Abe's great. Like, he's an amazing worker, helping me win the fantasy draft challenge, of course, every month. He's been my constant. And Takenomura.
Yeah. The astronauts, that won you the draft this year, practically.
Yes, I knew Abe, my number one pick in the draft, by the way.
Yep.
Was Fumidori Abe. So that's how I have to respect him.
It's unfair, because he wrestled like 65 matches a month.
That is true, and I had that in mind. You knew that. You had to take him, Stringer, out there. But, yeah, I like what they've done with the tournament, though. I think Inoue has really done a great job of being elevated.
Yep, they've elevated him great, yes.
Yeah, he was my standout guy, if I had to pick one. It would be him.
Yes. They've established this new move that he is the, what's it called? The Daikanon Suplex Hold. Which was a great finish that he put Hikaru Sato away with.
Yeah. And I really liked what they've done with him, you know, because I thought that he might just go winless or whatever and put over everybody else. But they gave him some wins, gave him a draw, made him feel like a dude in the tournament. I really enjoyed his run. But everybody wrestled good. Like, you know, there's nobody that really stood out, only because they were all doing the best they could with what they were given overall.
I think a real fun night for the tournament was the Shin Kiba show on the 21st, where they really played out the time limit aspect of the tournament with three matches going the distance. And this, I think, really worked out well for Ryo Inoue, because he got a time limit draw against the big star, so to speak, in the tournament with Naruki Doi. The big veteran in this tournament. But they also had Abe and Koji Emoto going to a time limit draw, as well as Dan Tamura and Hikaru Sato. And then it was all laid out for the fourth time limit draw, but Rising Hayato beat Atsuki Aoyagi in 9:26. Once again, with another great finish, Avalanche style Frankensteiner cutback cradle. Great stuff there. So they are playing a lot with this time limit draw aspect of the Junior Battle of Glory, and I'm wondering if they can do that again next year, or if the magic will fizzle out slowly with this.
I think it depends on how the final goes.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be their chance to have a great match, in my opinion. I think they are going to give this time.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I hope so too, as well. I'd like to see these two go. What do you think about Dan and Doi being the final here?
Yeah, something that I did not expect, to be quite honest.
Me either, especially Doi.
Yeah, I was very sure that Rising Hayato would be coming out the winner. It has to be Dan Tamura winning, because it wouldn't make sense for an outsider to go against an outsider for the junior title yet again. Remember, they had the Weird Lindemann and Jonathan Gresham program.
Yeah, which was good stuff.
It was a good match, but it was a weird title match.
It was.
Yeah, so...
Sol Reign's been weird.
Yeah, so... Well, if we're going along with the Reign, it will be Naoki Doi. But Dan Tamura would make total sense, since they've built him up here throughout this tournament. Him getting the title back to All Japan.
Yeah.
Would be a good fit for a match with Lindemann as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, yeah. Let's give Dan the win.
Yeah, I'm extremely confident he will win this tournament, to be honest with you. Doi winning doesn't make any sense, and he's doing more stuff with Dragon Gate lately on top of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be a main fixture of the division. Not that he won't be around, but he's already had his title reign. You don't really gain anything from him winning. And I kind of argued against Hayato and Aoyagi winning because they had already had their title matches against Lindemann, and Dan hasn't. So it actually makes sense, even though we didn't really expect it, just because I think we think of the other two, like Hayato is a little bit higher in our minds than Dan. And it is kind of weird, if he does win, or let's say he beats Lindemann and wins the title, he would do that before Hayato did, who we all think is like this amazing talent, and he is, and we're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
We think he should have his moment in the sun, but instead Dan gets his moment. Although, you also have to consider that he's been around for a while now. Dan has. and he's yet to really have his big moment. They had it briefly with the tag titles with him and Sato last year, and they basically got rid of that. It's really, really fast. So they're giving him a moment. I like it. I think it's a good idea. Like you said, of everybody, he's probably the best stylistic matchup for Lindemann. In my opinion, the Power Junior going against this small guy, I think they could have a good match and really end his reign on a high note. Put over the next guy, give some fresh matchups, maybe Cuba Dan against some outsiders too in the title reign going ahead. And I am afraid that that's where this will all lead ultimately, is that Dan will have the title for a good 3 or 4 months, and then somebody from Dragon Gate will come in and win the title or something like that, which because we've been on this train for so long now.
They really like to give the junior title away to others.
Yeah, it's the same story. Like the outsider holds the title for a few months, and then the guy wins.
Hasn't like Koji Omoto won the title back from outsiders like 2 or 3 times?
Yeah, he did. Even Atsuki did.
Like Atsuki did as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's done it multiple times at this point.
Iwamoto has won the title. Oh, wow. So, Iwamoto, let's see. He won the title back from Chuji Kondo, Susumu Yokosuka, and Shima.
I remember that too.
Yeah. 3 times.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the same thing. It's been that way for so many years that I do fear that that's what's going to happen here. Like, he'll beat Lindemann, and somebody will come in from Glate or Dragon Gate or whatever, or maybe DDT, now that they're working with them, and then they'll take it for a few months, and then they'll build up to Hayato winning a year from now, I guess. We're just going to keep doing the same stuff over and over.
It's really bouncing back and forth between outsiders and All Japan talent. It's really crazy. Like, for the last champions, so Lindemann won it from Aoyagi. Aoyagi won it from Doi. Doi won it from Aoyagi.
Yeah.
Aoyagi won it from Tiger Mask.
See, that's another one.
Tiger Mask won it from Sato. Sato won it from Sugi.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, see? It's never ending with this title. So hopefully they have something different in mind.
Remember the great super crazy reign of 2021?
I do remember it, unfortunately. That was I think that was kind of like the last gasp of the Tajiri era.
It was,
of All Japan. So thankfully we moved on from that. Because most of these guys have actually been pretty good like as champions. Like, it's not like they're bad wrestlers or anything like that. It's just the same story over and over. I wish they would do something a little different, is all. But it's nothing against them as talents.
Yep. Yeah, anything else on All Japan?
Looking forward to this end, this final show.
Oh, yeah, the year-end card, right.
Yeah.
Besides the match in the main event, Katsuhiko Takajima defending the Triple Crown against Kento Miyahara, they have announced that there will be the return match for Shotaro Ashino. He teams with T-Hawk against Japan, Tokyo Kuroshio, and Sego Tachibana, which is an interesting match because Ashino and T-Hawk, of course, was the final of the champion carnival that that Ashino won. And Tachibana was part of his Gunyo of Anarchy stable. Now, of course, back with his former tag team partner in Kuroshio. So good that Ashino is back. Wondering where he will be slotted in at the beginning of the year. Then they have announced an All Japan versus DDT tag match that sounds really great on paper. It's Atsuki, Aoyagi, and Rising Hayato against the KOD champion Yuki Ueno and Toi Kojima of Sona Kamina. And that's all we have right now.
Yeah, good stuff. I look forward to seeing Ashino back in action. They're going to have to play with that threat of him winning the carnival and getting the title shot, I think, at some point. I hope not right away. I hope he doesn't just like come out at the end and be like, I'm challenging you on the third. I hope that they stretch it out a little bit more.
Yep. And you know what? Like, Kento Miyahara, of course, is out for the tag team title challenge, but that tag team title challenge after winning the Real World Tag League is usually the main event of the January 2nd show.
Right.
So the Saito brothers, they still have another set of tag team titles. So they could as well defend the GRX titles on this show against whatever team they get. Maybe Tamura and Gano de Mal, who knows? Did they beat them in the tag league? I'm not sure right now. Let's find out.
Who did the Saitos drop falls to?
Tamura. Who did the Saitos drop? Hayato, Tamura. Let me... Yeah! Oh, no, they beat... Oh, the Saito brothers beat them. Ah, too bad.
Rei Saito is unbeatable right now.
He is, yeah. Except for Yukio Naya.
That's true.
Not so unbeatable. But yeah, that's a great segue, Dylan. Let's go over to our final topic for today. I'm getting a bit tired here, so let's keep it with the trifecta of topics that we have. The Deakin Grand Prix has started on November 26th with a great, great main event between Yuki Ueno and Katsu Sada Higuchi. And I noticed that they really set off this tournament with a very balanced first couple of days, because you notice on the first show that they had in Kurikan, the current KOD champion Yuki Ueno beat a former KOD champion in Katsu Sada Higuchi, and Yuki Naya also beat the most recent KOD champion in Chris Brooks. So they are setting the tone right now that the reigning KOD champion is on top and has gotten a pinfall over the former KOD champion. On that same show, we also saw the return to being a serious wrestler for Yuki Ueno after his 2 years in Pheromones. He practically destroyed Harashima in 5 minutes, and he won them with this great-looking sliding spear that I really liked. Unfortunately, Katsuki Hirata lost to Cannon, and Rei Saito beat Mao in a really cool match, and I also really liked the second match that Rei Saito had. Thought it was a really great wild brawl with Yuki Onaya on the second day of the D-King Grand Prix. So there are already some early standout matches in this tournament.
Yeah, Rei and Mao was really good way to kick off the tournament. It's not like they rewrote the book or anything, but a big guy versus a small guy, and the small guy's got more guts than brains. It's an easy story, you know, and they performed it really well, liked what I saw. Kenon's horrible, as always. So the Hirata match sucked. I got to disagree with you on one thing. Not that I hated the finish of the match, but I actually think the normal spear looked more powerful than the sliding spear.
I agree, yeah.
So that's my only qualm with that, but it was fine.
I think he'll work it out at some point. I think it was the first time that he did it.
And he's still a work in progress at the end of the day, too. So I'm not judging him too much. I'm not confident in him. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of his work in the past, but I'm willing to give this a shot at least.
One of the key points, I think, that was my takeaway from Flosh's appearance on the Dramatic Dream Dragons. By the way, shout out to Flosh. Shout out to the episode he did with Yannick. Flush. Yes. He said it really depends on how this works out for Ueno, if we'll forget about the past 2 years that he spent in Pheromones. I know that the Pheromones was an overact in DDT, but it was merely a comedy act. And we'll really have to wait and see if Yuki Ueno works out as a serious wrestler.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of his even before the Pheromones. I thought he was one of the least applicable guys on the roster, so to speak. But we'll see. Like I said, I'm not going to throw him away yet, for sure. But and like I said, he's got some good stuff that you would go for. He's got size to him. You want that. Naya also has size as well. Clearly, he does. The match was pretty good against Brooks. I didn't hate it at all. I thought it was pretty well worked, actually. Both guys did good. I thought Brooks got a lot out of Naya. Yep. Naya, to me, is a lot of times replacement-level big guy when I watch him wrestle. He's got size, but I don't really enjoy his wrestling. I don't think he's special a lot of times in the ring.
What's he missing, in your opinion?
I just think he's a really generic big guy. There's nothing about him that stands out other than his size. Like, his moveset is really basic. I feel like he's not very charismatic at all, in my opinion.
I thought he showed some great charisma in the match that he had with Hirata.
Yeah, Hirata's a special case, I would say. But, like, his match versus Hino was kind of his biggest match in this case, and it was a very basic match and not
entertaining. Yeah.
He's just a basic guy to me. Like, there's nothing about him that hooks me personally to him. Hopefully he can get there, because they need him to get there.
I've always had a soft spot for Yuki Naya. It's well established on this show. And I like both of his matches that he had in this tournament so far.
I thought the one with Ray was a lot better, actually. Like, I thought that was a really good match.
I agree that it was better than the Chris Brooks match, yeah.
And that match was fine. Again, it's nothing against Naya. I just don't think he's very special compared to... So to me, special means Higuchi level.
Which I don't think he's on that level.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's an okay big guy. Like, but not somebody I really want to build around. But they have to. Like, they need him to work out. They need somebody to work out in this company. Because if you look at DDT, they don't have new guys. And they're trying right now. Yep. And I thought the main event of the first night was definitely... Because when Ueno beat Brooks,
yeah,
I was like, man, what is this all about?
I wasn't expecting that either. Yeah,
yeah, and I think that he... We've seen flashes with him. Like, he's had great matches in the past. For a long time, it felt like he was just, like, floating. Like, not doing anything of note. The Takeshita stuff brought something out of him that he really hadn't had. Since he didn't get any wins out of that, but he showed a lot more fire than I think he's ever did before. And I think he utilized that to make this match with Higuchi better than the one they had last year for the title. After Ueno won the tournament last year, I think their title match was again good, but not great, to say the least. This one I thought was a great match, and I thought they handled it really well. And Ueno showed me a lot I wasn't expecting.
I specifically remember this sequence where Higuchi blasted him with his sumo chops and he like backed him up against the ropes, threw him into the ropes, and Ueno came back with this amazing looking dropkick right to the face, which was his fire up sequence in that match. And
yeah, that was good.
That was, it's ultimately what we've been missing for a long time with him, is this spark that,
yeah,
this final emotion that he is gets in place to reach another level.
And I thought the title win could have been made, in my opinion, I thought like that got so far overshadowed by the Saki retirement on the show that his title win really, it wasn't flat, but it wasn't the big moment that I think you would have wanted for this guy. Like, it didn't feel that way, in my opinion. Yeah. Even at the end of the show, like after the show ended, we were more looking at Schadenfreude coming back, more than him winning the title, which, we'll see where it goes. But I really liked him in that match, though. He showed a lot. It feels like he might be on the right track. This title win might have brought something out of him as well. So, yeah, really good match at the start. The second night, I thought that the Naya and Rey Saito match was really standout, actually. I liked the brawling aspect of it. I thought it was perfect. And I said this,
Face was a great environment for that match because the fans were rabid for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was a great idea. The funny thing is, going into this tournament, this was basically the biggest match of the tournament promoted. Like, Naya versus Rey Saito, the two biggest guys. Like, what will happen? And when you think about it, it's kind of silly. It's like Rey Saito is a tag worker.
Yeah, like we talked about that, yeah.
Of all people to build your singles tournament around, this wasn't, I think, who we had in mind. But he's done a great job. I like what he's done in the tournament so far. I think he's a good fit in DDT as well. And Naya's done good. Ueno's done good. Two guys who I didn't have a lot of confidence in going into the tournament. I think they've overachieved thus far. And hopefully they can keep that momentum up going in there right now. And I think that Naya is definitely going to be, if he doesn't win, I think he'll be in the final of the tournament. If you look at B Block.
Yeah, and once again, I've said it for the first day that they've balanced it out quite well. After the first two matches that Naya had that were really like balls to the wall matches, he had this comedy match with Katsuki Hirata. So it's in line with what DDT is doing. We have a little bit of it all. And we also have a little bit of it all when it comes to Daisuke Sasaki, because for whatever goddamn reason, they insist on this guy having 30-minute time limit draws in the DK Grand Prix.
You use the Lord's name in vain right around Christmas. This is what you do to us, Daisuke Sasaki.
Yes.
Krampus is coming for you.
Oh, right no. Now.
That's the bad guy Santa, right?
Yeah.
Because we had a big talk about this on the last episode, talking about Santa being a bad guy in Europe. So watch out for Krampus, people. This is a new statement I found out. Daisuke Sasaki, you are ruining everyone's life right now. I just want you to know that with your wrestling, but... what do you expect? How long have we been at this same spot, Striga? Daisuke Sasaki ruining my life. He does it every year, every match. I can't escape from this wonderful man, I'm sure, in real life. But I just don't want to watch him wrestle. Why do you put me through this, DDT? Why do you make me do this?
I have no answer that will help you out in any way, shape, or form.
Why can't someone help me? I've already lost my mind a long time ago. That's true. If you want to make that argument, yes, I get it. I mean, look at me. I still watch the Panthers every week. And that is just a psychopathic tendency. Nobody sane would do. But even still, I would rather watch 3 hours of the Panthers losing every week. And the insane fan base turning on Bryce Young, I still would rather watch that than Daisuke Sasaki matches, and particularly 30-minute draws.
I have no idea what any of these words mean, but I'm sure they come from your heart.
If I love you, I got to tell you the truth.
I cannot tell a lie.
Who do you think is winning this?
Let's look at the final day. Yeah. It's on December 24th, actually, in Curriculum Hall. Christmas Eve, Dylan.
Krampus is coming.
Yes, Krampus is coming, because it's Daisuke Sasaki versus Harashima on that night. Man. So A-Block has Yuki Ueno versus Yuki Ino. That's Tetsuya Endo against Kato Sadeguchi and Daisuke Sasaki versus Harashima. And there's only two B-Block matches on that night. It's Chris Brooks versus Rei Saito and Mao versus Yukio Naya. Yeah, perfectly set up for Naya to win.
I think Naya wins B-Block and Endo wins A-Block. The reason why is because they announced Akiyama's leaving Burning right before the tournament started, and it would make sense to give him yet another attempt at a push, which we all love so much.
I was just going to ask, what's your stance on Tetsu Endo?
Another guy, like, athletically, he's great. It's like Naya with the size. Like, nobody can deny he has that. As an overall wrestler, he's not bad, but there's nothing about him that hooks me or makes me interested in anything he does.
I think it was a horrible decision to have him lose the Universal title to Matt Cardona. Ever since, he's just been floating around. He's just been a guy, but that again might point us into the direction that it could be his tournament to win.
And plus, he was, but they also set up a storyline with him going through the tournament with Akiyama leaving the group. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're just gonna have Akiyama leave and then Endo's on his own. Whatever, this group sucks now. Like, I think they're gonna want to make it and elevate the group at least without him.
Yeah,
and if not him, I mean, there's no real better option in A Block anyway.
I don't see a better option right now.
I mean, like, obviously, as a fan, like, Higuchi, yeah, we want him to win everything. But, I mean, they're probably not going to do that right now. And Ueno's the champion. Hiroshima's the veteran. That would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Ito, I mean, if they want to go all the way with a guy, like, again, they need new guys. Regardless of what I or you or anybody thinks of their talents, they need guys to step up and fill this main event scene. So if they wanted to go with Ino, I don't think it's impossible that he doesn't advance, but my gut tells me Endo, after the Burning deal, They set up a storyline. Why did they just announce this right before the tournament, right? Like, they could have announced it after if it didn't mean anything. So I'll go with Indo versus Nia as the final. Yep.
Makes sense.
Yep. And I think Indo will win the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. So much for this episode. It was really nice, yeah. Dylan, getting back into the groove with you. What else is there that you have, except for Wrestle Update? What do we have on the Patreon?
Patreon, as I said, I've been covering every single match of the tag leagues. Going to continue all the way for the finals. After that, I'm going to finally get through the 90s project. Fredo's gone MIA, unfortunately. I miss him so much. But he has a life. He doesn't need me around anymore, unfortunately. But I will get through that anyway. Wrestle Update, like you said, there's going to be some cool stuff on there. The end of December, there are some shows coming up that I'll take a look at. We're going to cover Stardom a little bit more heading into their big year-end show. Sandre's back, and we will do something as well. Covering Stardom. Very interesting company with so much stuff gone wrong pretty much in the last couple of months. You know, there's no real happy way to look at this Queendom show at the end of the year, but I will try to talk about it. We'll cover it all the way. Should be some fun stuff there. I'm going through the Christmas holidays. Who knows what will happen? We'll try and get another TigerCast episode out before Christmas, me and Cheyenne as well. We're almost done with the series. We're over halfway done. Should be some fun stuff there. So yeah, Patreon's got a lot of stuff actually coming up. You got to check that out. Check out Wrestle Update, talking about all kinds of stuff in American wrestling, which inevitably crosses over with Japanese wrestling as well. Dramatic Dream Dragons, covering Dragon Gate and DDT. Still no sign of who will challenge for the title at Final Gate, but they'll figure it out, I'm sure.
Maybe. They've been doing that for the remainder of this whole year. Treading water until they get to the big show and... Hey, we got this here.
Yeah, big hug. That's what we're doing right now. Luis Mate and Hio. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff on the Patreon. Lots of stuff coming on Wrestle Update. But most importantly, I hope everybody has a good time. You know, if it's Christmas, if it's Hanukkah, Ramadan, Kwanzaa, all of them. Like, hopefully, everybody has fun. And as I say, listen to your buddy Dylan. Always, if you don't celebrate it, fake it so you get free stuff and free food. That's what you need to do right now.
Okay, I'm going to figure out a way to fake celebrating Thanksgiving next year.
Now, as to my knowledge, there is no Thanksgiving in Germany.
That is, yeah.
But there is turkeys.
Yes.
So therefore, if you have turkey in your heart and on your plate, you can celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's my message to the whole world out there.
But if I'm having turkey on my plate and celebrating, am I not really celebrating Thanksgiving? That's not faking celebrating. That's celebrating.
There you go. You did it. Look at that. The spirit of Thanksgiving just flew through you through the show, Stringer. This is a Thanksgiving / Christmas / holiday miracle right now that we have here. This is what the Eastern Lariat does.
Miracle on Eastern Lariat Street.
Absolutely. Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm feeling like Jack Skellington right now going into Christmas. I'm trying to become the new Santa. Will I be able to do it? I don't know. I doubt it. I don't know anything about reindeers. But by God, I will be here to give the gift of Japanese pro wrestling to all of my friends and the listeners that we both love so much out there. And hopefully everybody has a great time to end the year, great holidays. And we will see you before the end of the year, too. So keep your eyes peeled and your ears open for that. Should be a lot of fun stuff.
Absolutely. So I can't even do anything equally to what Dylan just said here. So I'm just going to finish the show. So thank you all for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara!
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.